tonight. So that is a trailer for a movie that we're going to see on March the 29th, which is a Sunday evening. And we try to do this a couple of times a year to really support the Christian movie-making industry. And we normally pack out a theater with at least a couple of hundred folks. And so if you're interested in going on this movie night, it is getting rave reviews. Text MOVIE to the number 478-250-9777, or you're welcome to sign up. There's a sign-up list here, sign-up list in the back, or call the office, and the tickets are $8. We would be thrilled if you would join us to do that. It is a time for us to connect together as a church, and we typically love those movie nights, and you'll enjoy this movie, Jeremy Camp's Life. Speaking of Jeremy, our worship leader, Jeremy Lumen, they had their baby this week on Wednesday, baby number four, Silas. And Silas came about a month early, healthy, 8 pounds, but his lungs are slightly underdeveloped, and so he's in the NICU ICU presently and probably will be there for a few more days. And so if you'll be praying for Jeremy and Lee and their family, it would mean a lot to them. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is part two of a series that we started last week, a series that we call Pray This Way. And last week we discovered that the primary function of prayer is to connect us with God. The secondary function of prayer is to connect us to one another. And so we discovered last week that there's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. The right way to pray, according to Jesus, is secretly and sincerely. We discovered that last week. And I want you to consider something about prayer as we really dive into this subject. I found something this week that just really impressed me. And so I will just really consider this and ponder this. There's nothing more important that we can do for God than to connect to Him in prayer. There's nothing more important that we could do for God than to connect Him with Him in prayer. There's no burden, there's no need, there's no problem that cannot be lifted by praying. That's why we should pray. Because when we pray and connect to God, it blesses us. God blesses us through our praying to Him. Matthew Henry said this: when God intends to bless His people, the first thing He does is get them to praying. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. If you're there, say amen. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Verse 9. "This then," Jesus says, "is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, the first thing Jesus tells us, this is what we talked about last week, is how not to pray. Jesus said, don't pray like the hypocrites. He's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who once a day they would offer sacrifices in the temple. And so one certain time in the afternoon, the temple would blow their trumpets to signify that it was time for the sacrifice. And once those trumpets were sounded, it was time for all those who were believers in God to pray. And so these scribes and these Pharisees, they would set their watches so that a few minutes before the trumpet sounded, they would just happen to be standing on the busiest street corners in the busiest places in town. And this is where they would choose to pray. And they would pray loud and they would pray long. Jesus said, do not pray like them. When you pray, pray in secret, because the secret to prayer is praying in secret. And so Jesus said, when you pray like this. And he gives us a sample prayer in verse 9. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the model prayer. And by the way, Jesus never tells us to recite this particular prayer in place of our prayer time. That's not his objective here. But he says, when you pray, pray like this. These are the components of prayer. This is what makes for effective praying. So this is not a prayer to be said. This is a pattern to be followed when we pray. I was watching a football documentary, and the coach had such a foul mouth. I mean, he would use some of the worst language that I ever heard. And he would have this pregame speech. And he said, all right, we're going to go out there. We're going to murder these so-and-sos. We're going to kill them all. All right, let's come together for prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. And they would say the Lord's Prayer. They weren't praying the Lord's Prayer, but they would just say the Lord's Prayer because it was something that they would do before every game. I'm reminded of the child who was getting ready to go to bed. The mom stuck her head in. She said, have you said your prayers? He said, no, ma'am. I didn't say my prayers. I prayed my prayers. That's what Jesus is looking for here. I can remember when I was in elementary school, went down the road at Jesse Rice. Any Jesse Rice folks, all right, we got several Jesse Rice folks. All right, let's give us a hand. Give us a big hand. Jesse Rice. All right. But I remember, I don't know, Ron, if you remember this. Chris, you're probably too young, but when I was a kid, at 8:30, the bell would go off, and they would make some announcements over the intercom, and then we would stand up in unison. The class would stand up, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we would bow our heads, and we would say the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it was required in the school. I remember before we would go to lunch, we would stand up in unison, and this is going to date me here, and we would say, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Amen. You try that now. The ACLU will be on you like the coronavirus. I mean, you listen. If there was ever a time that our nation and our schools needed prayer, that time is now. I heard about a couple that was touring the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and they were being guided around by a tour guide, and the tour guide pointed at this tall, distinguished gentleman, and he said, that's the congressional chaplain. And the lady asked, does he pray for the House? Does he pray for the Senate? He said, no, ma'am. He gets up, he looks at the House and Senate, and boy, does he pray for our country. That's what we need. We need prayer. This is not a prayer to be recited. This is a pattern to be followed. Now, before we get to the Lord's Prayer and dissect it, look at the individual components of the prayer, I want to just give you five real quick ways not to pray. These are just five ways. These are just some things I would tell you. Don't use prayer this way. The first thing I would tell you is don't use prayer as a magic wand. You ever known people like that where they use prayer, they use Jesus' name like it's abracadabra. They just wave their prayer and God is supposed to make it happen like it's magic. I've known people that use prayer this way, and I'm going to tell you, it's not long before they get angry or give up on praying because they don't get what they want. God doesn't just jump through our hoops. And I've had people tell me, I'm not really praying. One time I prayed, and God didn't answer, and so I just stopped praying. Let me just bear testimony here this morning. I cannot tell you how many times God told me no. Where I sought His face, I I would plead with God. I would beg God, God, make this happen. And God just continued to put up walls and obstacles and stop signs and red lights and red flags saying, no, that's not it. And I would be disappointed. I would pout with God. I would be angry with God. But then when I would get down the road several years and I would look back at where I was and how I had grown and changed in my faith, and I was thankful that God told me no years earlier. I was thankful that God said, no, now's not the time. Remember, He's not our cosmic genie. He's not our Santa in the sky who gives us everything we want because we simply ask. God tells us no because that's what we need to hear. And by the way, if God gave you your every desire, He would not be God, you would be. And so you have to really be careful about this, because the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done. The purpose of prayer is to connect with God so that we'll know His will. We want to do His will. The only way I want to do my will is if it's God's will. And maybe today you're discouraged and you're disappointed because God keeps telling you no. Anytime He tells you no, it is to help you and not to hurt you. A preacher who's wiser than I am said that if our request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If we are wrong, God says grow. But if we're right, the request is right, and the timing is right, God says go. And so that's what we have to understand. It's not some magic wand that we just pray and get our way. The second way I would tell you not to pray is don't pray a drive-through window prayer. You ever heard somebody order at a drive-through? It's just very direct, very matter-of-fact. Yeah, I'd like a number one and a sweet tea. And you just pull around and you get what you asked. And that's how some people pray. Yep, yeah, God, let me get a mech blessing, and how about supersize the abundance? And we just give God our order, and we just pull around and pick it up. There's no relationship. There's no surrender. There's no connection. There's no humility. We're just placing an order. God, this is what I want, and you make it snappy-pappy. No, don't pray like that. Third way I tell you not to pray is a legal argument prayer. I don't know if you know, but some Christians, and I've heard them pray, they'll come to God in prayer, and they think they deserve something, and that God should answer their prayer. And they'll pray, God, I've tried my best to serve you. You remember I gave that homeless dude $2 in the Walmart parking lot? Don't you remember that, God? I even went to church on Wednesday night, and that mess in the sanctuary is boring on Wednesday night. God, you owe me. And we're trying to argue with God as to why He should bless us. That's not praying. That's pleading, and that's bargaining. And we don't have to twist God's arm to get Him to bless us. And by the way, let me just say this. God is not going to bless you because you're being good. God is going to bless you because He is good. That's why God chooses to bless His people. The psalmist says this: delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what that simply means is, once we come to delight in the presence of God and we connect with Him through prayer and worship, and the more we connect with Him, the more we love Him, the more we love Him, the more we worship Him, and out of that connection, out of that love, out of that worship, we find our delight in Him, and the more we delight in Him, the more He changes our delights, and the more that He changes our heart, and as He changes our heart, He makes His delights our delights. And so when we delight in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. Why? Our desires have changed to His desires. We're not wanting what we want, but we want what He wants, and we find delight in that. And so you don't have to twist God's arm when you pray. You don't have to bargain with God. So don't use prayer as a magic wand. Don't use it as a drive-through. Don't use it as a legal argument. And I would tell you, fourthly, don't use prayer as a religious obligation. You ever heard people, I guess I got to go pray. I don't want to be in God's doghouse. There's this obligation to pray. Don't let guilt make you obligated to pray. You pray because you want to feel connected with God, because you want to know what His will is for your life. When you begin to pray out of obligation, you pray forced prayers and meaningless prayers and prayers of resentment. And I'll just say this, in those times when I least want to pray, those are the times that I most need to pray. And so don't pray out of obligation. And then lastly, don't pray like this, a deal maker. You ever heard somebody? Maybe you've done it. God, if you'll get me out of this, I promise you I'll be a preacher. I'll be a missionary in Africa. If you just do that, you ever heard anybody pray like that? God, if you'll just help me get that job, I'll start tithing. I'll stop drinking. This time I really will, I promise. It's deal making. Trying to really get God on our side, because this is what we want. So we're willing to make a bargain. God, I'll change if you'll change your mind. So those are some ways not to pray. So let me just give you some ways to pray. And Jesus couldn't put it out there any more simple for us to remember and us to understand. Beginning in verse 9, Jesus said this, don't pray like that. Pray like this. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So these are the categories, these are the components of how to pray effectively. The first thing Jesus said is give God your adoration. Give God your adoration. Adoration simply means praise. It simply means worship. It's Jesus said this is how you're to begin your prayer. Now, do you have to begin like this? No, not necessarily. But this is how Jesus said you ought to begin your prayer, by praising God, by esteeming God for who He is and what He's done in your life. It means that we're placing value upon God. To praise Him simply means that you are very, very good. Your name is awesome. Your name is holy. Your name is set apart. And so I'm esteeming who you are. I'm esteeming your name. It's hallowed. It's set apart. Don't be like the little boy who was praying one night and he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." No, his name's not Howard. His name is hallowed. It's set apart. It's special. And so we start off our prayers by revering who God is and what He's done, what makes Him so special. And then after you give Him your adoration, give Him your trust. Your trust in God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a will for you. Listen, my friends. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the key to living abundantly is to know that plan and live out your purpose. And when you're living out the will of God, that's when you're the happiest, when you're most connected with Him, when you found your delight in Him. And so part of our praying is saying, "Lord, I'm surrendering my life to You today. I'm giving to You all of me, to all of You. Show me Your will today. Show me Your plan so that I can live out that will and that plan and that purpose in my world." So remember, the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done. The purpose of prayer is to connect with God so that we'll know His will. We're not trying to change His mind. We're trying to know His mind so that we can understand His purpose. And so it simply says, as your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven as it is on the earth. Now, how's God's will done in heaven? Perfectly. How's God's will done on the earth? Imperfectly. You know why? Because we let sin distract us from doing and accomplishing the perfect will of God. And so it simply means that we come before God and say, "I want to know Your perfect and complete will for my life, because I want Your will to be lived out on this earth as it is in heaven perfectly." And I will just tell you today, the will of God is what we would choose if we had sense enough to choose it. I don't know if you're... There's some Sundays where I just really enjoy it, and maybe some Sundays where you really enjoy it. This is a Sunday where I'm really enjoying it. And I know I slept great last night, and you probably didn't get as much sleep as I did. But I'm going to tell you, the will of God is what you would choose if you had sense enough to choose it. The will of God is what's best for us, because the will of God is what's blessed for us. And so we give God our adoration. We give God our trust. Thirdly, we give God our worries. Give us this day our daily bread. The daily bread really means the necessities of life, those physical and emotional necessities of this life. God is concerned about every single need in our lives, but He wants us to understand that every need that is met in our lives is met because of Him. He's our sustainer. He's our protector. Don't ever take for granted that the daily bread that we eat comes from our daily sustainer and provider. God is our provision and God is our protector. Now, I want to just say this. I'm just going to be honest. I'm so tired of hearing about this coronavirus, I don't know what to do. Just trust God for your protection. I'll be 50 in May. I'm still in my 40s. I don't know about some of y'all. I'm still in my 40s. And I'm just going to say this. There's people living in hysteria over this coronavirus. In my 49 years, there has always been something trying to kill us. There's never been a time where we just didn't live in fear. You remember Y2K? Man, we stocked our shelves with canned goods because these computers are not going to be able to convert over. They're going to rebel against us. Our computers are going to strangle us. And there were people who were scared to death. You remember anthrax? Anybody here a victim of anthrax? No, nobody? That was such a big deal. What about West Nile virus? I remember getting bit by a mosquito going, that's it. That's how it ends right there. That's the beginning of the end. I'm done. That was a big deal back then. What about SARS, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola? You remember that one? That one wasn't long ago. ISIS. I remember we got an email saying that ISIS was going to target churches one Sunday. And so we stationed people at all the entrances because we were scared to death. Guess what happened? Nothing. Zika. And now it's old Corona. Can I encourage you as your pastor? Calm down. Take a deep breath and relax. It's going to be okay. Wash your hands. Live your life. Take vitamin C. You don't have to put yourself in a room living in fear that something is going to get you. It's going to be okay. Trust God with your fears. Trust God with your worries, because God will protect you. He will preserve you. He will provide for you. Fear is a liar. Do not let it win. Give God your worries. And then lastly, I would tell you, give God your guilt. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is something we need to pray each and every day. I heard somebody tell me one time, they said, well, God forgave me the penalty of my sins when I was saved. Oh, He did. I agree. He did. He took all of your sins in the past, all your sins in the present, all your sins in the future, and He's forgiven those. But what He's not forgiven is the power of your sins. And so that's why we have to come to Him for a daily cleansing. Yes, you've been forgiven from the penalty of your sin, but there's still power to sin that keeps us from being able to connect with God. I can assure you, if you will cast your sins upon God with a repentant heart, with a broken heart, let Him break your heart for those things that breaks His heart, and He will take those sins, He will cast them as far as the east is from the west. The good news of God's grace is He's better at forgiving sins than you are at committing them. But if you commit them with a broken heart, God will forgive you. But let me just say this, if you're constantly connected to Him, you won't want to sin because you'll want to do His will. But if you find yourself stumbling into sin, then ask His forgiveness and He will forgive the guilt of your sin. David said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me. And so sin cannot destroy your relationship with God after you're saved, but it can destroy the fellowship you have with God. And so you come to God for cleansing. 1 John says, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there has to be a daily saying, God, forgive me, please forgive me for what I've done to hurt you and break your heart. And I would just say this is the crux of the message, and I'll be through in just a few. I'm amazed. I'm amazed how much faster time goes now in these sermons than they, the first sermon I preached was about 8 minutes, and it seemed like an eternity. Now it seems like 8 minutes, and it's 25 minutes. So let me just say this, and I'll be through. God has made some things in our life dependent upon our praying to Him. Could God choose to move without us praying? Absolutely. He's God. But He's determined that there are some things in our life that we will not accomplish apart from prayer. If you want to accomplish the will of God and live out the plan and the purpose of God in your life, then it's dependent that you stay connected with Him in prayer. That's the biggest reason that we need to pray, because He's God and we're not. He knows everything and we don't. And I believe that's the reason that a lot of people choose not to pray, is because they have forgotten that He's God and you're not. And a lack of prayer is an indicator that you're trying, that you think you can run the show in your life, and it's a sign that you think you can handle things on your own. Does God need our prayers? No. But does He welcome them and accept them? Yes. Does it change things? Yes. Does He answer them? Yes. If we'll pray sincerely and fervently and humbly and consistently, God will do things on our behalf that He would not do apart from our praying. And let me just say this, and we're dismissed, I promise. Notice in this prayer, this model prayer that Jesus gives us, the togetherness that is offered here. Jesus, yes, we're to pray in secret, we know that. But notice what Jesus says when He prays, "Our Father, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." So there's a community aspect to this prayer. There's a togetherness aspect to this prayer that we ought to be praying together. There's things that God will not do in this church apart from us taking seriously the command to pray together for God to move in our church fellowship, in our community. And so it's our job to pray secretly, and it's our job to pray corporately. And so I want to just ask you today, how's your prayer life? How you doing? Is it good? Could be better? Does it stink? Make it better. Make yourself available to God to connect with Him in prayer. It's worth it. We need to do it. And He'll do His part. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we place ourselves at Your feet today. And God, we humbly sit before You, asking You as Your people to move in our church. God, we can't do it without You. We're nothing without You. You're everything. We're nothing. And so, God, I pray that during this time of invitation that You would stir our hearts, that You would break our hearts for those things that break Your heart. And, Lord, what breaks Your heart today is prayerlessness. We're not spending the time with You that we need to. We're not connected to You the way that we need to be. And so, God, You stir our hearts today. There may be one or two here, God, they've never known You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray today they would discover You. The knock that's on their heart is the presence of the Lord saying, "Let me in. I want to come in. I want to be Your Lord. I want to be Your Savior." Lord, if there's one here today or half a dozen, I pray in just a moment when we stand and sing, Lord, I pray that they would come down, that they would want to know more about You. And Lord, I pray that You would draw them. Father, there may be some here today, they're looking for a church to join. Lord, You know my heart. There's not a better one than Lizella Baptist Church. And Lord, there may be some here today that their heart is overwhelmed because they've not sought You. There may be some here today, Father, they're discouraged because You've told them no and they've given up. God, I pray that You would help them today, that You would speak a word to them today. God, I pray that You would move in our church today. In In your name we ask. Amen.